Always trying to present both sides of every story that we cover, and our opinion isn't nearly as important as yours. So if you have a comment, give us a call, 393-3700. And we also have, with the next story, have called the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office to get their take and haven't heard back from them. On the other end of our line is the Reverend Dr. Melvin T. Jones. He held a news conference yesterday at the Union Missionary Baptist Church, and he has some concerns about the possible life sentence for a 15-year-old. Reverend, how are you?
Very good this morning.
Well,
how are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about this story, because when this crime occurred, this youth was only 13, although he's 15 now. Tell us the story.
Well, I mean, it's apparent that this kid was with his father and some other adults at the time that this crime was committed, and that he was found guilty by association. He was not the actual shooter, but according to the law, because of his engagement, was found guilty with the others. It's been my case that at 13 years old, it's a very tender age, especially as it relates to how a person is influenced, and especially if their role model is a father whom most of us tend to want to be like. Unfortunately, this kid's environment was very polluted. And at the time, or at the tender age of 13, having been a part of this and having to receive an adult sentence that sentences him to life in prison without parole, and in my opinion, even though I am deeply, deeply sorrowful for the loss of Shayla Johnson in that situation, to lose two lives, and especially the life of this young fella who may have some possibility, to me is unjust.
Now, you have asked the court not to condemn Charles Lewis of Lansing without to life without the possibility of parole. Effectively, it's a sentence for the teen to die in prison. A murder, as you mentioned, had occurred during this crime, and now the individual is 15 years old. And tell us, you know a little bit about his incarceration from the point that this crime happened until now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know all of the deeper particulars about that, except, I mean, he's already, you know, been held for a couple of years. To be honest, the judge has at least three options. One is to sentence him, as we've discussed, to life in prison without parole. But he can also hand down a blended decision, which is to send him to a juvenile facility and to have periodic checks on how he is progressing, with a held-out option that even after he finishes juvenile detention at the age of 21, can still be sentenced to life in prison without parole. The third, of course, is to be sentenced to a juvenile facility where hopefully they can provide some rehabilitative services for him. And he would be released at age 21. Of course, my opinion is that that's the judgment that should come down.
Pastor Jones, have you had an opportunity to talk with Charles Lewis, the individual we're talking about?
No, I have not entered into a conversation with Charles.
You know, it's interesting when you suggest what you think a sentence should be. Not saying that's right, not saying it's wrong, but it's interesting when people outside the parameters, the people who aren't making these choices, give suggestions to judges on what they might do. There's been other celebrities involved with another high-profile case that are doing the same thing. Do you think that's good for the justice system when outsiders are making suggestions to judges?
Well, I think, you know, we're living in an entirely different age now where I think the public does weigh in on judicial options when they view whatever evidence that they might have before them. And so I can't really suggest that it is even influential to a judge who has to make his judgments and rulings according to the law. For me, it's not only a judicial problem here, but it's also, in my opinion, a deeper moral dilemma. Because, again, I think you made reference to the Trayvon Martin situation, which then also heightens the sensitivity around the incarceration of black males on a national level. And there is a disparity there as well. So, I mean, this is really a larger issue than just this particular sentencing.
You know, when I started thinking about this case and about our conversation, I always try to get in the perspective of the other side, and I wondered what I would think and what you might think if this was our son or our daughter or our relative or our friend who had passed away, how we would think if we would say and feel and think the same things.
Well, as a pastor, I deal with death often, and I'm with families through their mourning process. I mean, I provide counseling for the bereaved, and so I had some sensitivity and understanding to how the family must feel who had that kind of loss, that violence. And so I'm not insensitive to that, and of course, again, you know, my heart and my condolences are still with that side of the family. But to be found guilty by association and not having been the person that did that act, and then to be at such a tender age of 13, in my opinion, doesn't really justify the loss of two lives.
And Reverend Jones, you bring up probably the biggest issue here, and this is a cultural challenge that could take a generation or more to change. But when you start talking about black males, when you start talking about males, and I can relate to this because I was raised in a single parent home without a father around some pretty sketchy influences. To try and change that situation so we as men want to be better fathers and put our kids in positive environments. And when we try to find acceptable jobs with acceptable wages and just try to change that culture, we're talking about a big, big job.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great, great challenge, but it's a challenge that we must face.
Two more questions for you. Just wanted to get your take. Looking from the outside in, the Trayvon Martin story, of course, the youth who, I wouldn't say he was a youth, but he was still a young man who was gunned down by someone who claimed to have been acting in self-defense. There have been many folks who have chimed in on this, many in a negative sense, many in a positive sense, some calling for violence. What's your take on everything that you've seen and heard?
Well, my personal take is that Zimmerman should not have really been after this guy in the first place, especially after his telephone description of who this person really was. He was asked not to pursue, and he did pursue. He was armed and dangerous at that point. It's difficult for me to actually actually know what happened with the encounter. But I think for most observers that make an attempt to try and be objective, this kid should not have lost his life coming from this store with Skittles and tea on his way home to see his father. I mean, that kind of thing should never have taken place. I think that there are issues that need to be understood, and it'll best be handled in the court of law.
What's your take on a casino in downtown Lansing?
Well, personally, I can't. I don't support a casino. On the other hand, in terms of the public square, I could support the city's right to have one. I mean, I think as it relates to the public square, for me as a person of faith and religion, to try and push my faith and my beliefs on the public is not the right thing, too. I mean, I can't make or try to make people homogeneous to my values and to what I believe. So I think there's room for the city to do what it thinks it needs to do in terms of increasing revenue and providing jobs. For me personally, as a pastor, I cannot support that.
We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Melvin T. Jones from the Union Missionary Baptist Church. As always, sir, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on more compelling talk radio.